Okay, let's turn to Hebrews 11, okay, today. We're going to be learning some lessons of faith from a Jewish couple. Okay, lessons of faith from a Jewish couple. Let's stand and we just read Hebrews 11, verse 8 to 16. Okay, we've talked about Enoch, we've talked about Abel, we've talked about Noah, now we're going to be talking about Abraham, okay? Hebrews 11, verse 8 to 16. I'll read verse 8, you read verse 9. And so on until we finish at verse number 16, okay? Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Verse 9. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 11.
Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of the child when she was past age, because she judged faithful with her promise.
Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the sea, shore innumerable. Verse 13. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Verse 15.
And truly, they have been mindful of that country, from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return.
Verse 16 together. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have an opportunity right now to look, Lord, and a glimpse, have a glimpse into the life of one of your servants, Abraham. Father, the founder of the Jewish nation today. Lord, we thank you that the nation of Israel was founded in faith. And Father, through it came the Prince of Peace, the Savior of this world, on which we have placed our faith in as well. And Father, we know that without you, Lord, without you setting things in motion, Lord, we would have never known the Messiah. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity right now to reflect on lessons of faith from this Jewish couple, Abraham and Sarah. The things they had to go through, I believe, Lord, is many times parallel to the experience, our own experience in this life. But teach us, Lord, how to have faith, even in situations that seem to be impossible. But thank you, Lord, that you are the God of the impossible. That, Father, we have an almighty God who is able to take even the worst things that happen and change it for your glory. We thank you. We pray right now you encourage every heart. If there's one person who have never trusted Christ as their personal Savior, open their hearts to realize, Lord, how great your love is, how terrible sin is, and how gracious and how merciful you are. But Father, as we come into your presence to understand your word, you will speak to us in a special way. We thank you for what you're going to do now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to be looking at this Jewish couple. And this Jewish couple is somewhat of a very popular figure because one of the nations of this world has been founded by them, all right? Or rather, God used them to set in motion a plan, all right, for the salvation of this world. Abraham and Sarah. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place where he should afterward receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. Let's look at Genesis chapter 11, all right? The first book of the Bible. All right, I'll give you some background to it before I go into 3 points for our consideration of faith. In Genesis chapter 11, we have this whole story, the beginning. All right, Genesis 11, I know many people, but Brother Johnny, this is the passage of the Tower of Babel. Well, look at towards the end, in verse 26, you'll find that Abram is the first name. It's not that it's shortened name, or it's the first name of Abram, which God later on changed to Abraham. I'll just read in Genesis 11 to give you a bit of background. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, which is Abraham, Nahor and Haran. Okay, so who was Abraham's dad? Terah, alright? Okay, verse 27, now these are the generation. Terah begat Abram, Nahor and Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarah, the name of Sarai, sorry, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. God made it very clear. It could be that God purposely put it in, as in John chapter 8, that the glory of God might be seen. Okay? And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son's Abraham's wife. And they went forth with them from the Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. The days of Terah were 205 years. And Terah, Abram's dad, died in Haran. Looking from that background, it seems to me, it seems to even Bible commentators, that Abram has actually left the Ur of the Chaldees. Okay? So that passage actually looks backwards. But then Genesis 12 sets in place how God has already started to call Abraham to go out into the land of Canaan. In chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3 is a very significant passage in the life of the nation of Israel today. It is very significant for us because within that is the beginning of the entire Jewish nation. Now the Lord, verse 1, said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And God says, I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. In this particular passage, we find God calling Abraham, a man, out of his own land. He says that I'm going to bring you into a land. Okay, just imagine if you are Abraham today, your life has been very secure, and God comes to you and says, I'm going to bring you out into a land, that I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make of you a great nation. For you, people are going to call you great. You're going to be the father of many nations. Your seed will be like the stars of heaven. And whoever curses you, I will curse them. Whoever blesses you, I will bless them. This was the background. May I say this? At that time, Abraham had nothing to fall back on except one thing. The revelation that God gave him. There was nothing in the ancient times for any man, Abraham, to fall back on except what he had received by revelation from God. Okay? And that's an important truth. Yet, for the little revelation he had, he put faith in that. He put faith, he believed that. Alright? And it's significant, the Bible says that he had faith in the revelation like a little child who believes what that says. With simple faith. Abraham just believed God. In Hebrews 11 verse 8, if you look at the verses again, the Bible says, by faith, Abraham went into a country that God called him to go. Okay? So when the Lord told him to go to another place, which God would then bless Abraham with, he just went. Do you realize why is the faith of Abraham to go into this land that God will give him? Why is it faith? Why is it faith? Do you realize one thing? When Abraham went into this land, that God told him, the inheritance will only happen 400 years later. He went into the land, yes, but God says, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. God gave Abraham a promise, I'm going to make you a great nation. But the great nation will only happen 400 years later. Did you know that? When Joseph and the 12, remember Joseph was betrayed, was sold into slavery by his brothers. He went there, and then Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt. And from there, God began to bless Joseph. And you realize after that, of course, the Pharaoh allowed Joseph's family to come. From 70 or 72 persons, 72 persons that came into Egypt became what? A nation of what? 2 million people. I will make of thee a great nation. That only happened 400 years later. But at this time in Abraham's life, God says, I'm going to make you a great nation. The word great has the idea of enormous, big nation. 72 people cannot be considered a nation. 2 million, 400 years later, God says, I'm going to make of you, Abraham, a great nation. The promise that Abraham had hasn't been fulfilled yet. But you know what? Abraham just... The key word in verse 8 is obeyed. Okay? Now, from this Jewish couple's faith, we want to learn three valuable lessons for our own faith. If you read through, there are many applicable principles that as Christians today, we cannot live. Okay? Three truths. Number one, for those in Sunday school, what's the first point I gave you already? Never mind, you can't remember. Point number one, okay? Based on Hebrews 11 verse 8, let me just read the verse first. I'll give you the point, then I'll explain. By faith, Abraham, when he was called out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Point number one, faith obeys without needing all the answers. Faith obeys without needing all the answers. The situation was stable for Abraham. He was with his family. He was with his dad. He was with his brothers. Everything was, his dad passed away later. But you know, everything was stable. Everything was calm and convenient. Everything was comfortable for Abraham. Then God came out and said, I want you to leave your convenience and go. Leave your convenience and go. Would you do that? Think about that for a while. I want us to notice a very important lesson from this call. And I want us to see the character of God. Sometimes in the comfort of our own lives, God may ask us to do something that is totally beyond what we think. And sometimes we would challenge God, you know, I have this job, I have this thing, I have that. You're asking me to do something for you in a place that I don't even know? To go to a place I'm not even sure? To do things that I'm not sure of? I want us to understand one thing. This call, from hindsight, to us we know is a very serious call. Would you agree with that? God, do you know what was God's plan? God had a plan of a great nation, the plans of immense importance, and that is to prepare the way for the Savior of this world. Abraham didn't know that. Abraham did not know that. Would you agree with that? Abraham did not know. God said, just go. Just go. I want you to go. And this is an important, for Abraham to launch out like that, one may think is impossible. And that if God calls you, some of us may even think twice or three times before doing anything. You know why? Usually we want answers, and usually we want all the answers so that we can make our decision, right? And usually that's the case with men. But question for us, if God calls us, will you do it? Some of us may even say, well, Brother Johnny, I will do it, but you know what? You need to give me more information before I can do it, right? The question is, are we able to obey God without needing all the answers? Let's turn to Luke chapter 5, okay, which is the next verse. I think it's over there, Luke 5. But this is an interesting thing because I believe this particular phrase, this verse in the Bible actually highlights the faith the apostles had when they were younger. In the Luke chapter 4, chapter 5 verse 4. Are we able to obey God without needing all the answers? This is an important question that affects us in many areas. It reveals our faith in God or the lack of it. This question, can I obey God without needing all the answers, either reflects our faith in God or our lack of faith in God. Okay? Look at Luke chapter 5, verse 4. We all know the story. Simon Peter and his gang went fishing whole night. Did they catch anything? They didn't catch anything. So can you imagine whole night? You know fishermen, when they work in the night, they work, they would launch out, they would throw out the nets, and they would wait in their ship. Okay? And then after that, in the morning, they would drag out and pull the ship. This particular fisherman didn't get anything. You know, number one, it's very demoralizing. You work so hard, you get nothing. Number two, they haven't slept the whole night. They're tired. All right. And so the Bible says they were mending their nets. So being faithful fishermen, they want to make sure their nets are okay for the next fishing trip. And then, look at verse 4. Jesus actually came and he was teaching the group. And then after that, the Bible says, verse 1, now when he left teaching, speaking, he said to Simon, Simon Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch, a draught. Now as Peter was listening and Jesus was in the boat, he said, as he was teaching people, suddenly Jesus stopped. Look at Peter. I want you to bring the boats out again and I want you to put down your nets. You know, in verse 5, you know what Simon Peter's response was? And Simon's answer is, Master, we've talked all night. They've taken nothing. Basically, really? Must we really go? You know, we've worked the whole night. You know, we're tired. Yeah. You want me to bring the net out again? But notice what was Peter's response in verse 5. Nevertheless, I want us to understand Peter's thinking. We're tired. Lord, you ask us to go and do something which we think is probably the same thing. You know, whole night we've talked. Lord, we are professional fishermen. You are a carpenter. You can't tell me what to do. Sometimes we think like that, right? But you know what? Peter then said, nevertheless. You know what he said? The word nevertheless means I'm not minimizing my tiredness. Would you agree with that in English? Nevertheless means in the same importance. Nevertheless, I'm tired. I'm a professional fisherman. I think I know better. But nevertheless, what you say, Lord, I'll listen to you. But nevertheless, the Bible says, Master, at thy word, I will let down my net. And guess what? The Bible says they caught more fish than they could handle. They caught more fish. We have our thinking, we have our opinions, we have the way we live. But nevertheless, when God comes and tells you something, are we able to say, yes, Lord, I may not understand everything that you say, but nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down my net. I'm willing to trust you, Lord. But you know, if you read the rest of the passage, you realize Simon Peter came to a realization who he was standing before. Who was Simon Peter standing before? He was actually standing before, Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. What have fishing to do with sin? What have fishing to do with sin? You know what happened? When Peter realized standing before him in the boat is not any ordinary man, but the Son of God, the first realization is his sin. The first thing that came to his mind was his realization, this is not just man, he is God. As I say, Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Now it's important, coming back to Genesis, do you know why Abraham was able to obey God? Let's look at Genesis 15. That helps us to understand a little bit more. God wants us to follow him for the next step, but are we willing to? Are we willing to? As you turn there, let me just highlight. In order for us to be willing to obey an instruction, there are two characteristics must be settled as a Christian. Abraham must have a settled conviction that God will lead him. Because the Bible says it's by faith that Abraham went. By faith, Abraham just believed God and he went. Okay, that's one. Number two, there must be a willingness to obey whatever God says, no matter if I have all the answers or not. You know, if you think of things like this, when your boss asks you to do certain things, do you have all the answers? You know, you just have to obey your boss. Because at the end of the month, with your salary, and the boss may not tell you everything, you just have to do it, right? How many of you say, boss, you tell me a whole plan, then I'll do, otherwise I won't do. The boss will say, I'll see you out the door, bye-bye. Sometimes you just have to do it. But can I say, our God, he's not our boss, he's our Father, our Heavenly Father, our loving Heavenly Father who loves us. And when he calls us to do something, he always has a plan. Would you be able to trust that? And you know, the settled obedience is the willingness to do no matter what God tells us without knowing all the answers. Without knowing all the answers. But why was Abraham able to do that? Genesis 15, 1. You know, as I was thinking through this, I believe this is a very important verse that all of us as Christians need to know. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, don't be afraid, Abraham, fear not, I'm thy shield. What does a shield do? What does it mean? It protects you. You know what? And then after that, he says, I'm thy shield and thy what? Exceeding great reward. You know, as Abraham took the step of faith to go into the land of Chaldees, God came and reassured him. Do you know why Abraham was able to trust God? You know, the reason is this. God told him, I'm your protection as you go. I'm your protection as you go. And I'm the one who will reward you exceedingly. But notice, what did God say? He says, I am thy shield. I am thy exceeding great reward. What's the name of God? I am. And it's interesting, because as Abraham trusted what God said, he came to a point that he was not just trusting the word, he was trusting the character of God. I cannot emphasize this enough. Many times we would listen to someone more when we know who he is. Do you agree with that? If you work for a boss that is loyal, faithful, hardworking, and takes care of you, gets the job done, works hard, and if he gives you an instruction, you generally will follow him because you know he's a good boss. He's a hardworking boss. Yeah, sometimes you feel a bit stressed, but you know his heart is right in the right place and you're able to follow. That's how God. When God tells us to do something, he says, look, when you go into the fire, what does God say? I'll go with you. That's our God. And when Abraham believed God, he didn't need all the answers. I know God. God is able to go with us. The world sometimes will tell you, hey, you know, you follow Christ, well, we don't know, you know, but this is a better way. Look at the evidence. You know, if you follow the world's way, you're going to have your career set out. You know, everything will be set. You have a good career path. And you enjoy yourself. Just look at all the evidence. You know, the world will say, this is a better way. You know, this thought came to my mind. But God tells us, this is the best way. Look at me. The world tells you, this is a better way for your prospects, for everything you do. These are the evidence. But God says, this is the best way. Look at me. Look at me. Christians, we need to lift our eyes off the answer sometimes. And look at who God is. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:2. God tells us, hey, when you are discouraged in your life, when you think this world doesn't mean anything, just look at what Jesus did. Do you need all the answers? Do you realize that we don't need the answers because all the answers is in Christ, and if we look at Christ, we have all the answers? We may not have... And even if God tells us all the answers, we can't handle it. But Christians, faith in God is the willingness to obey Him without needing all the answers in life. Okay? In life. In Isaiah 45, verse 22, look unto me, the Bible says, God says, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Christians, our God is so powerful that He can take your sin and still change it around for your good. Did you know that? You know, there was one cartoon that we saw, I have with my child. You know, there's this big giant that punishes people and everyone was afraid of this giant, you know. And all the little children, it's supposed to be these children were Christians and they were caught and they were afraid of this giant who is called, his name is called Giganticus, okay. And this Giganticus was wrestling and hitting and hurting people and killing people. And all the children were afraid. And there was this man who was trying to encourage the faith of these children and say, you know what, this Giganticus have the power to hurt, but only Jesus have the power to make right again. Do you know it's very easy to hurt people? It's very easy to... For Tacloban, for example, hurt by high-end, how long do you think the whole area will be rebuilt? 10 years? 5 years, maybe? If all the relief efforts will come quickly? How long does high-end take to destroy the whole place? 1 hour? 2 hours? That's the problem with sin. Building up becomes hard. But you know, our God is able to destroy, but He's able to recover as well. You know, the power to hurt is easy, but the power to heal is stronger. Our God is that kind of God. Christians, do we need all the answers all the time? Abraham, notice what the Bible says. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and he went out, not knowing where he went. Would you do that? Would you do that? Would you, Mr. Shaoling and Brother Joshua, okay, I'd like you to pack up your whole house, inform Joseph and Joseph and Hui Chi, pack up everything, take out all your bank accounts, stop all your accounts, collect your money. They don't have camels anymore, so take the first boat. I want you to go to another country. Brother Joshua not here. What was the first question you all will ask? Where are we going, right? Not telling you, just follow. First thing as fathers will be, I need the itinerary. I need the address. I'm not telling you, just go. Would you go? But you know what? That's what Abraham did, not knowing. That's faith. Are we willing to trust God on that? Faith obeys without needing all the answers, number one. Number two, verse 9. Faith focuses on the eternal. Verse 9 and 10. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city with the foundations, whose builder and maker is God. If you read the history of Abraham, he actually went into the promised land. Did you know that? He was actually in Canaan. Alright? Then because of that, because of famine, remember the whole Jewish nation went out to Egypt again? Right? Well, he was already in Canaan. But notice his attitude when he was there. God actually brought Abraham into a land of promise, but notice his attitude. As the Bible says, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise by faith, he was very uncomfortable in the land. He said he sojourned in that land of promise as in a strange country. The word strange country has the idea, as he went in, there were already some Canaanites there. Remember, Abraham had to fight some of them? There were already some established people there, some culture, some belief system. And as Abraham was walking through, he was very uncomfortable. Because he sojourned in that land as in a strange land. He was there only by faith. In other words, God says, I want you to come to this land. But you know, the customs and the culture and the people were all different. As he actually lived there, notice firstly, his heart was uncomfortable. His housing was temporary. He dwelt in tabernacles. He didn't put his heart in that land, even though it was a land of promise. But by faith, God says, this is going to be your land for your great inheritance. God says, okay. But you know, Abraham's heart was not comfortable in that land. And so he dwelt only in tabernacles. The housing was temporary. He did not plant his heart in that land. For Christians, by faith, we know we are going to a better world. Amen? Amen? We are going off to a better country. Are we planting our hearts here? By faith, we sojourn in the land of promise. We are here, but know we are going on to a better place. Look at verse 10. In Hebrews, verse 11, verse 10. For he looked for a city which had foundations. You know what's the implication of that? The land of promise, the physical location, doesn't have foundations. He was looking for something else. A place that had foundations, number one, it is safe. And number two, is secure, whose builder and maker is God. When we put our heart in the things of this world, you have no foundation. Do you agree with that? Because the money system can go up and down. Your stocks can go up and down. Singapore also has recession. Now, although we are one of the strongest countries in the world, we do have our financial problems. All right. There was a time that as Singaporeans, we have to cut our CPF. Remember? For those who have lived long enough, our government had to take strong measures to protect the economy. They have to take up our national reserves. Right? Okay, the president have to sign. All that. We have to sometimes artificially pump up the economy so that it will keep going. Yeah, we're one of the richest nations in the world. But you realize Singapore is also dependent on what's happening around. Yes? What foundation is that? On the one hand, you may have a strong bank account. On the other hand, everything is gone. I think some of the... I just keep thinking back to places that are hit by natural calamity. They just lost everything. But you know, In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, this is what Jesus taught us as Christians. As Abraham did not plant his heart in this world, his faith focused on the eternal. Jesus said this in Matthew 6, 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. In first century Palestine, clothing and precious metals were their riches. Today, gold is still quite a sought-after commodity. But the other thing is you put your savings all in Switzerland, right? Right? Okay. Clothing in Singapore, I think Singapore is one of the worst dressed people in the world. I don't know. Is that true? I don't know. I think there's some... And they look at people who go down Orchard Road with, you know, slippers. But you know what? We don't really put a lot of emphasis on... I think they do, lah. There's some people have to dress trendy and things like this. In those days, when you actually have a very colorful garment, it means that you are of some status. But Jesus said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why? Where moth and rust does corrupt. After a while, your clothing in your wardrobe, if you haven't worn for some time, will change color. White will become a bit yellowish. In those days, it's moth and rust. The insects will come and chew your clothing. And your gold can actually, over time, rust. The precious metals, it become worthless after a while. You know what Jesus says? Don't put your heart in things in this world. Where thieves break through and steal. Okay? Do you believe a rich man is a very secure man? No. Why? Because you have to think about security agencies. You have to think about where you got a chop alarm. You know, chop. You know why you want chubby? You know the big alarm, CHUBB. You know the alarm. Then you have all the CCTV. You know. And even with that, people still can lose their riches. But thieves break through and steal. But you know what Jesus says? But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. So what if you earn $1 million in this world? I shared before, I had a friend in Australia who said that one of her relatives won a lottery for $5 million in 5 years. The whole family broke up. Why? Because everyone wanted a piece of the money. And because of that, conflict started to happen. So what if you have so much money in this world? Faith in God focuses on the eternal. Abraham was looking for a place where foundations is secure in God. Because God is the maker and builder of that city. Look at Judges 18 verse 10. Very interesting verse that God gives us. It was at a time when there was no security in Israel. Because everyone was doing that which was right in its own eyes. And there was this particular man who said something which is interesting. He said this in Judges 18:10. When ye go, ye shall come unto a people secure and to a large land. For God hath given it into your hands, a place where there is no want of anything that is in the earth. And this man was saying, when you go to a place where God is, you don't really need anything. Because the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not lack anything. Christians, our faith in God, like Abraham, need to focus on the eternal. There's nothing in this world that should attract a Christian. Because the Bible says the things of this world will vanish away. There's nothing in this world that should keep the heart of a Christian. During the youth camp, where Song Ling shared Psalm 73, we need a place where God is. The Bible says in Psalm 73, verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, a place of refuge, a place of where God is, then understood I their end. The psalmist in Psalm 73 was looking at all the things around. People are getting rich. People are having all these things. The eyes was on this world. And then it was too painful because he was he wanted to trust God, but he had all these struggles within. But then until he went into the presence of God, he realized actually all these things are temporary. It's only God that is permanent. In Psalm 91 verse 9, let me just read that. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. The things of this world gives us some temporary relief. But if you're looking for eternal relief, you need to be in Christ. God gives us our house, God gives us our families. God gives us our, if you use the word riches, God gives us things in this world to make things a little bit more comfortable. Do you realize if you don't have, what are the two, what are the needs, what are the basic needs that God say we need? Sorry? Food and? How many, is shelter a biblical need? Think about that. Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man have not a place to lay his head. Is the people in Tacloban, can they survive without a shelter? Well, they can, they have to find, but it's a product. You realize biblically there's only two needs that God says we need to have, food and raiment. Of course, with a shelter, it's safer. Lah. We always think, right? No, I was taught this. And actually, look at the Bible. You know the only refuge and shelter you need to have? God. I'm not saying that for next time when you grow up and get married, don't buy a house. Ah. I'm not saying that. Ah. Please. Ah. But I'm saying when it comes down to the bare bones. Just imagine if a typhoon sweep into Singapore today. Of course, now we build a civil defense shelter, right? But what if you really have no place? I had a missionary friend, they're Filipinos. There was one time they said sometimes they go to different churches to preach, and some churches don't actually provide them shelter. You know what? There was one time they slept beside the sea. They still survive. God still provided their raiment and their food. The Son of Man has not a place to lay his head. Christians, we need to understand. Sometimes what we think are needs, in the Bible, God says, you don't need this, you need me. We need to fix our eyes on the eternal. Okay? I'm not saying don't go and buy a house when you get married. Please, don't. I'm not saying, oh, pastor say it's not a need for to have shelter, so tomorrow I sleep in the bus stop. That's not what I say. Okay? I'm just saying we need to put our hearts where God places it. You know, shelter and all that are God's blessings to protect our family. We have a family of four, or five with my wife. They need a shelter. It's my provision for them. So as a father's here, you work hard to provide for your family. There's shelter and food and all these provisions. But when it comes to the really bare bone, really bare necessities, we need to realize that our eyes should never be fixed on the temporary. It must always be fixed on the eternal. We need to learn to trust God. Abraham never placed his heart in this world. Even though he had a promise that this is a promised land, he was very uncomfortable in this land. A Christian should never feel comfortable in this world. It's just like a husband and a wife who maybe a husband has to go overseas to work. I think it's June and so Maria must be my husband is overseas long time. You pray for him, you take, but you know, nothing beats you're together, right? Right? You know, even though we may have fellowship and all that, but you know what, nothing beats having the husband right beside you. You know what? That should be the heart of a Christian. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the world. Christians, we need to set our heart on the eternal. That was what Abraham did. Point number three. Hebrews 11 verse 11. Now, after looking at Abraham, we look at his wife, all right? Just for a little while. So ladies, you're included here as well. And this is something which is interesting. In Hebrews 11:11. After looking at the faith of Abraham, next week we look at part two of Abraham, right? There's two parts. There were two significant events in Abraham's life. The birth of Isaac and the sacrifice at Isaac. We'll talk about it next week. But today, now we're going to look at Sarah. In verse 11, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Mothers, I want you to be thinking about what does it mean to conceive seed, all right? Because it is very significant. And was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Point number three, faith in God gives strength to do the impossible. And that was what Sarah did. Turn to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, verse 6. I want to look at this whole thing about Sarah. How old was Sarah during that time? When he gave birth to Isaac, he was 90 years old, all right? 90 years old. Ladies, those who have given birth, you realize, I don't want to be giving birth when I'm 90 years old. Okay? It is an impossible task. But Genesis 18 verse 9, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. Verse 10. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And there was these people who came, and Abraham was there. And this man said, "Where's your wife?" "My wife is inside." This man said, notice what this man said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life." That means this man was saying, at a specific time, your wife is going to bear a child. "And Lord, Sarah, thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it at the tent door, which was behind him. And Sarah, "Me? Have a son?" And all the human opinion starts coming in, right? Look at verse number 11. And now Abraham and Sarah are old and stricken in age, and he ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. That's just a nice way of saying they cannot conceive anymore. Okay? In the lifetime of a woman, there's only 400 eggs. Biologically speaking, 400 eggs. Biologically speaking, all right? About that time, give and take, okay? Medically speaking. So as far as Sarah is concerned, God has closed up the womb. That was already said in Genesis 11. Sarah was barren. God has closed up the womb. In other words, there was a seemingly impossible task. Impossible. Cannot happen. So Sarah, according to verse 11, was ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. Verse 12, Sarah laughed within herself. In other words, I personally believe that Sarah was not being disrespectful, but he's just being, "God, this is an illogical idea. This cannot happen." Because Sarah was one of the faithful women. And so maybe in her heart, she wouldn't dare ridicule, "Ah, God, you silly. He didn't do this." But where's... No, not possible for me to have a son. You're joking. Not in an irreverent way. But I say, that's a preposterous idea. It just cannot happen. Verse 12, Sarah laughed within herself. I'm waxed old, and shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. Verse 30, the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Ladies, be very careful when God speaks. And God knows what you're thinking inside. Okay? All right, you may ridicule. No, you may question God. God is looking. "Excuse me, why are you asking inside your heart?" That's what happened. Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, "Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?" Verse 14. Christian, is anything too hard for the Lord? This ought to be one of your verses in your life when you face the situations that God. It's just impossible for me to get past. Genesis 18:14. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Guess what? God spoke. At the time appointed, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. It's as if God says, "I'll prove it to you." Now, sometimes in our doubt of God, God comes through with his strength and compassion for us and said, "You may not believe me, but let me prove myself to you." You know how Jesus proved his love for us when he died on the cross? Amen? We think that, you know, many people who are non-believers will shake their fists at God and say, "God, you are, why all these things happened to me?" You know, Jesus may not give us a reason, but he paid the ultimate price so that we can have eternal life. He died on the cross. So God came to prove to Sarah. Of course, Sarah then said, "No, I didn't laugh." Because she was afraid. And he said, "No, you did laugh, all right?" In Romans chapter 4, verse 19 to 21, you just read in your... Let me just read. This is interesting. It talks about Abraham's faith, but it refers to Sarah's womb. "Being not weak in faith, he," Abraham, "considered not his own body now dead," when he was about 100 years old. "He did not consider the deadness of Sarah's womb." The deadness of Sarah's womb. In other words, nothing can happen inside of Sarah. Full stop. Nothing. Zero. Impossible. But God says, "You're going to have a son." God says, "You're going to have a son." And in Genesis chapter 21, verse 1, listen to the Bible. "The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time at which God had spoken to him." Faith in God gives strength to do the impossible. Now, that was God's part. Why does faith in God give strength to do the impossible? The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 11, there was a time in Sarah's life that when he conceived, maybe he is saying, "You mean I've got to carry this baby for 9 months at 90 years old?" There are some people who are like my age, at 45, I cannot even walk properly. I don't even have strength to do what I need to do. And for mothers who have given birth, it's very easy to give birth, right? How many mothers say, "Brother Johnny, no problem, I can give birth anytime." You will struggle, there's pain. It is said, I'm not too sure whether this is really said, that you realize that if we go through the same pain woman has to go through in childbirth, we will die. God has to make hormones, God has to prepare the woman strength-wise to bear the pain of childbirth. Right? That happened at Genesis 3. And the pain is so excruciating that today, thank God for modern science, there is Petidine and what else? Or the anesthesia that you need to at least lessen the pain. Otherwise, it is so... If you've been in the labor ward before, you're holding your wife's hand, suddenly, you know, that's how you right? And you scream, and some husbands will get, you know, the wife will bite the husband and say, and some mothers are smiling, you know what I mean. Pain. And Sarah, Lord, you expect me to give birth to a child? The Bible said, through faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when he was past age. It is by faith that Sarah did the impossible. He trusted God. God, I can't do it. My muscles are all shut down. My abdominal muscles cannot push anymore. My pelvic floor muscles are weak. I cannot even walk properly. But God, you have to give me strength. The Bible says, because he judged him what? Faithful. If God, you said, I'm going to have a child, God, I believe you, and I need that strength from you. Faith gives strength to do the impossible. Well, Brother Johnny, that means, everything I think of will happen. There might be a tendency to think like that. As long as I have belief in God, I can do anything. I want you to notice in Sarah's situation, God specifically spoke, you are going to have a son. When we, in our own imagination, come up with an impossible turn, like, I'm going to lift up the van, and God is going to give me the strength. God, I trust you. You'll probably lift you. You probably have to do a lot more training with Brother Lex, who's a physical trainer, to lift up a van. The difference, some Christians will say, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. But when God hasn't spoken, don't try. Very important. If God hasn't spoken, don't try. You get into trouble. But in this impossible situation, God says, you are going to have a son. We can trust God on that. Does that make sense? Example. Is it God's will for our loved ones to be saved? Is it God not willing that any should perish? You know, we can hold God as well. God, I'm going to do all I can in keeping my testimony, in praying for my loved ones, in sharing the gospel. God, I believe you will save. Because God says he's not willing that any should perish. And God, I'm working with you. God, use me. You can be sure. But if God says, but if God tells you to go to a particular place and do something, or rather, if God didn't say and you want to go, you need to be very careful. You need a lot of counsel and prayer. But Christians, we need to, based on this verse, faith in God gives strength to do the impossible. Sarah knew God's plan. She laughed at it initially. God promised her a seed, and she was very old. But God was able to do it because God's word vetoed it. God says, you're going to have a son. Sarah trusted, and it was fulfilled. Christians, we need to learn that in some situations, I think I apply this sometimes to the salvation of our loved ones, where you say, God, it's not possible for so-and-so in my family to be saved. But God has already spoken, not willing that any should perish. But God says, I want you to go and then open your mouth and share with them. I want you to live your life right so that you can have the righteousness and the light of Christ shine through that these people can see. And sometimes God may need us, I need you to learn to sacrifice what you want that someone might live. As we finish, I just want to give you three outcomes of Abraham's faith. Hebrews 11, verse 12 to 16, there are three outcomes. Number one, faith obeys without needing all the answers. It focuses on the eternal and it gives strength to the impossible. Look at the outcome in verse number 12. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, referring to Abraham, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Number one, God's will was fulfilled in Abraham's obedience. Do you realize you and I are Christians today because of Abraham's obedience? Did you know that? Because of Abraham, was willing to obey and go. And through him, God fulfilled his plan of redemption. God's will was fulfilled. Number verse 13, there was a godly mindset established. In verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of that they and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Abraham, as he walked through this life, did not consider the things in this world. He had a godly mindset. It was established. I confess I'm a pilgrim. I confess I'm a stranger on earth. I don't embrace these things. I embrace what God has given to us. Christians, as you grow, especially young people, as you grow, you need to embrace what God has given to you here. I can tell you there are many young people growing up today without the knowledge of God. People in Christian homes are growing up without the knowledge of God. May it never happen in Ambassador. May every father take the responsibility of instructing our children in the Word of God. May every mother support that with your lifestyle and words and kindness, that our children will see and set their hopes in God. You can only be the signpost that point them to God. Children themselves have to look to God personally, and God has to work in their hearts that they might establish that relationship. But you know, Abraham did all he could as he walked this earth. He had a godly mindset. He didn't set his heart in the things of this world. In verse 14 and 16, notice the godly focus, number 3, of his life. For they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. Verse 15, and truly if they have been mindful of their country from whence they came out, and they might have opportunity to have returned. Every Christian here have an opportunity to go back to the world and live for the world. Every one of us, including myself. Did you know that? And every time we can look, my friend is having fun. What you mean? You tell a lie, you get a good promotion. Why not? You know, if I participate in this, I get $50,000. Why not? You know, if we had a mob, all of us will be tempted to go back into the world. That's what Satan wants. And all these things will I give you if you just bow down and worship me. Some Christians have already bowed down to the gods of rock, idolatry. Some of us have bowed down to the idol of career, that you will focus on that alone. Maybe sometimes, hopefully not at the expense of your family. Some of us have bowed down to the riches and the mindset of this world, because the Bible says, and truly if they have been mindful of their country from whence they came out. You must understand, when they go out from one, when they actually lug along all these camels and animals and walking in sandy areas, they don't have hotels with aircon and jacuzzi to relax in. It's all hot. You got to find proper shade and water. You know what? If they had chance, they would have gone back. If you don't have the faith of God in your life, you will go back. But if you have faith of God leading you forward, you will not go back. Because you are seeking a country whose builder and maker is God. He has a godly focus. But in verse 16, but now they desire from the heart a better country. There is an heavenly where for God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he had prepared for them a city. As we close in Abraham's life, we find that faith obeys without needing all the answers. Christians, there may be things going on in your lives. There may be some life things that I really don't know how to continue. Some people may have reached that stage in their lives, especially 40s, 50s, 60s. Christmas time, apparently in America, is a heartbreaking time. Apparently many suicides happen during Christmas time in America. Why? Because people all come, there's a lot of homecoming and all that, but there are a lot of homeless people and they don't have family, and the reflection of that just caused them to commit suicide. The statistics in America shows that. I was told that by an American pastor when I was in Australia. And these are the things that happen. You know, sometimes if you're at the end of your road, you know, but if God tells you to follow him, he has all the answers. Did you know that? And he knows when to give you that answer when you need. But we need to put faith in God. And we'll obey him without needing all the answers. Faith focuses on the eternal. As Christians, our heart must never be in this world. There's nothing this world has for us. God gives us all the things to make our lives comfortable. Do you realize even friendships helps us in our lives? God gives us all things to make our lives comfortable. God gives us enough. None of us here is starving. Is anyone starving here? No, we all have food. But you know what? God puts all these things to make our life comfortable. But our hearts must never be in this way. And finally, faith in God gives strength to do the impossible. If God tells you to win your children, families to Christ, to you it may be impossible, but faith in God will give you that strength to keep on keeping on. Because you know why? When you trust God, you are not just looking at a promise, you're looking at a God that is able to do it. And that is important. We need to keep our eyes focused on who Christ is. If He's able to change us, some of us, when you look back in our lives, He's able to save us. Huh? Whom He can save? Apostle Paul? Sometimes I look, if God can save the Apostle Paul, why can't He save us? You know, my mom, who is somewhere, she's here. Well, she, all along, she has been the staunch. You know, in the Chinese thinking, my dad passed away when I was 5, and she said, I cannot be a Christian because I need to be faithful to my husband. You know, the Chinese thinking, cannot be a Christian because you need to be faithful to a deceased husband. You know what? She's here today because of what God did. She's saved, baptized. It's all because of God. God can do the impossible. Some of you may have impossibilities in your life. You say, no. But you know what? Number one, you need to seek what God is speaking. And when you hear what God says in His Word, follow it all your heart. And God will bring it to pass. And Christians, if there's something in your heart that you find that is hard, seek the Lord in His Word. Ask Him, Lord, what is Your will? And when God shows His will, follow that. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will take the word spoken and encourage every heart here. We'll be singing the song, Trusting and Obeying afterwards. Lord, I ask that you help us to understand what Abraham had to go through. And how you, when he was very comfortable with everything, Lord, you begin to move his heart to go out of his land of comfort, land of convenience, to go into a place that, Father, he don't even know where, except he knew that it was God who called him to go. And Father, I pray that even today there might be in the hearts of some of these people, these dear friends who have come and visited us, some even members, that perhaps there are certain things in their lives and hearts that they need you, Lord. Help them to realize they can trust and obey you. And Father, the answers are not very important when we realize you have all the answers and all we need to do is to put our hand in yours, willingly, voluntarily, by faith. And just as you let Abraham, from the time 4,000 years ago to today, Lord, the establishment of the nation of Israel is testimony to your plan and the reality of the Bible and the reality of Christ and the reality of Jehovah God. Father, we thank you for that. And I pray, Father, in human language, I may not be able to express everything that your Holy Spirit wills. But I pray you will speak to the hearts of everyone here. With your eyes closed, heads bowed, I just want to ask a question. As you look at the life of Abraham, is your life, are you walking by faith, focusing on the eternal, trusting God when there's not all the answers, and able to get strength to do sometimes to you is impossible, but that's what God wants you to do. So Pastor Johnny, pray for me. God has spoken in my life about some area that I need to learn to trust in submission. That sometimes I may not have all the answers, but God does. And just in simple faith to trust Him. Is there someone like that? I said, Brother Johnny, pray for me that God will give me that faith. Amen, I see the hand. Is there someone else? Amen, I see hands all over. Put your hands up, put your hands down, and pray in your hearts, God, as you let Abraham lead me to. Is there someone else? Amen, I see that hand too. Amen, I see that. Amen, I see that hand too. Amen, I see. Just put it up, put it down, and just tell God your heart, and I'll pray for you in your mouth. Is there someone else? Amen, I see that hand too. Just put it up and put it down and pray in your hearts. I'll be praying for you in the world. Anyone else? Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the hands that have gone up. Father, believe you have done something in these people's lives. Sometimes trusting you, Lord, challenges what we think. But God, if we love you and we believe you, you always have the best for us in your hearts. And we come today, Lord, wanting to trust you with that. I pray for every sister and every brother who has put up their hands in whatever situation they are in. That God, sometimes we need all the answers, but yet, Lord, in the life of the prophets and the people of the Bible, Lord, sometimes all they did was just listen to you. And they just take a step of faith to believe you. And God, you did marvelous, wonderful things in their lives. Lord, thank you for the willing hearts they have submitted and surrendered by putting up their hands. Lord, I pray for every sister and every brother who has put up their hands. I ask you, Lord, to increase their faith as they begin to read your word and believe what you say. I pray, Father, that in their lives they will submit themselves completely to you, regardless, Lord, of what the world may think, what the situations may be. I pray specifically, Father, that in every situation they may find themselves in, they will always go to your word and seek your word first, and then place faith in what you say. And then, Lord, have a peace of mind to know you will do what you say, and you always say what you will do. Father, thank you for this comfort of the scriptures. And Lord, even as we sing this closing hymn, I ask you, Lord, to open our hearts to learn to trust you and to obey you. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.